Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191 A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove, between the demo and the ready room. Hey, come out Friday the 20th, brand new records in from Radiohead, the entire discography on vinyl now. So come out and grab those. Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton, Mudcrutch, they got new David Bowie record, Lacuna Coil, and a bunch of other stuff, of course, always new music coming in, and check out their always growing local selection. If you'd like to have any of your vinyl or tapes or CDs on the Music Record Shop, be sure to reach out and ask them about how you can make that happen. And for any more information, feel free to go check out their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, this is Leah, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with Leah Osborne.
That's right.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the ghetto.
Yeah, good to be here. Yeah, episode 222.
222, dang.
Yeah, been keeping busy.
222.
but yeah, we've known each other for a while now. A couple of years, I think, I've been... seeing you around playing music and stuff, and this episode has kind of been a long time in the making because
I missed the first one.
Yeah,
I had the chance to do.
Yeah, I reached out, and you happened to be sick that evening, I think, and mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm excited to be back here tonight to speak with you. So I wanted to. Kind of get to know you a little better, talk about some of your, starting music and things, and then got some songs we're going to play.
I got some songs.
Yeah.
But, been singing a lot.
Yeah. So, let's start at the beginning then. Where do you get started in playing music?
Well, from the very beginning, my dad has always been singing. So I've been singing for a really, really long time. I'm talking like, two.
Right.
So, I mean, it stems back real, real far. But it seems like I said earlier, music and food is, music and cooking and food has always kind of intertwined itself
sure.
in my life. And I went to culinary school in like 2007, I think. And... ended up meeting Justin Torres, which is, he is the bass player in Cluster Pluck.
Yeah.
And we got to know each other later down the road, but that's initially where I met him, and my friend Ryan, who is also a cook slash musician slash he can do everything in the whole world, like gardens and everything, cutest baby ever. But anyway, the three of us eventually got together and started... Boom Tops, which is our first band, which was like inspired by Pokey Lafarge and that old timey, like super old timey, like swing kind of style
right.
of music and stuff. And the first song written was Boomerang Salmon, and that was written with me and Ryan downstairs in my mother's basement probably like 6 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
And Boomerang Salmon came from the shape of the salmon that I was getting at a place I cooked at.
Okay.
It was like, they were like pre-cut salmon shaped like a boom, you know what I mean?
Alright.
And I don't know, he just started playing this, you know, like that little ditty to that song, and I was just like, boomerang salmon!
Yeah.
And it just developed from there, and he was just like, you know, write a song about whatever you want. And so I wrote a song about my grandpa and I fishing, and then he added a little to it, and that's where it started. And he, like I said, the three of us, we were all cooks, and Ryan kind of, he went towards the cooking side
mm-hmm.
for a while. And Justin and I kept jobs, like we worked at other places together too. We worked at Sleep together, and so we developed a relationship, and then Boom Tops kind of died out, but I was still, you know, playing washboard and extremely interested in staying in the music,
right.
in the music scene. I was just like, I wanted to be in it no matter what. And even before Boom Tops, I was like trying to, you know, help promote, do stuff like you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that I picked up a washboard one day because Ryan told me to, and then it's kind of history from that. Then Justin was like, okay, well, you know, Boom Tops isn't really working out. You should just be in Cluster Plug. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, why not? And then I was like, yep. And so that's kind of where it stemmed from. And it took me a really, really long time, though, to figure out my washboard sound, you know? Because it's a washboard,
sure.
you know? And there's a couple different styles of boards that you can actually play.
Yeah.
Typically, there's the two. There's the wooden ones that are, like, the actual boards that you can wash clothes on. And then there's, like, the all-metal ones that, like, go... It's like the Zydeco style
right.
that you see in, like, New Orleans. And they typically use spoons on those. But I don't know, with Cluster Pluck sound, I just didn't feel like that was what I wanted to do. And I also had inspiration from a band called Elephant Revival. And there was a washboard player in
sure.
that band, Bonnie Payne.
Coming to Sheldon, right?
Yeah, in September 24th, which is my best friend Lindsay's birthday.
Yeah.
So I might miss the show.
Yeah.
Which is a little heartbreaking, but my Lenny is she's a good one, so I
yeah.
won't miss her birthday. But anyway, washboards.
Yeah, I remember I've seen like a few. It's one of the earlier times I remember seeing Cluster Pluck.
Uh-huh.
But you guys all opened for Ben Miller Band at Old Rock House.
Yeah,
and I was. Doug DeSherry
uh-huh.
Played with Ben. Now he's been doing some other stuff,
mm-hmm.
some solo stuff
he's
too.
Badass.
Yeah, but yeah, I love watching him play washboard and spoons. And,
yeah, and the saxophone at the same time. It's like insane.
Drumming, he you know, plays a full drum kit.
Yeah.
Guy does it all. He,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but just so I haven't really been around a ton of washboard playing, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a lot of fun to watch and. And it really, I think, adds a lot to the sound, especially with watching you play with Cluster Pluck all these years now. And,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, so where, I mean, like, is that so? You just Ryan just says, try it out. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was like I said, we would when I was still living with my mother 6 years ago, and we would go downstairs and we would play in my mom's basement and. You know, he'd be playing his guitar, and I'd be like, I just want to play something, I don't know. But I don't have, you know, I felt like I didn't have time to learn anything that quick, so I was like, well, maybe I can do something, you know, like, percussion-wise. And he was like, go buy a washboard,
yeah.
you know? And then I actually went to Music Folk, there's a plug, in Webster, Missouri, and I bought a washboard from there, and the guy who checked me out was like, do yourself a favor and look up Elephant Revival. And I was like, okay. And I watched their videos
right.
on repeat since then. You know,
yeah.
it's and she, the way that she played the washboard, Bonnie, it was unlike anything I've ever seen with anything ever before. And I don't know, like only 3 months after that, Ryan and I went down to Arkansas at this Harvest Fest, which is in Mulberry Mountain, and it's actually not there anymore, unfortunately, but I got to see them live I don't know, it was like 2010 or 11 or something. Mm-hmm. And it's so cliche, but like when I saw them, my life changed. It did. It just did. I can't even, you know, you've been to concerts like that. Sure, everybody has. And
that's a great moment.
When, yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to really like fully put into words, but yeah. Just something like you can definitely feel it, just a change. Like you just like opened your mind. Like this is, especially if it's something, you know, maybe like Elephant Revival for you, but like it, where you're not fully aware of some of their back catalog or something like it, and you just happen to catch them on the first, for the first time live, and it's just like, holy cow, how I've been missing this for so long. And
yeah,
like,
it was almost transcendent almost to a certain extent. And everything that Bonnie, the Washboard player, was embodying, it was just like, oh my God. And at that time, I was, like I said, I was so wanting to be a part of this scene, even if that meant I wasn't in a band or and when I saw her and, you know, I was starting out in Cluster Pluck and like it was just like everything was going off. Yeah. I was just like, oh my God, this is unreal. But I got my inspiration of how to play like that, you know, like instead of like scraping it more from her. And then my sound is it's actually my own. It's not, it doesn't actually sound like hers. Hers is more high end. Like you're hearing more of like a snare drum from her, and I'm kicking that low end like 808, and then you can kind of hear some of the scrapes and tings here and there. But it took a while though. It did not happen overnight. It took a lot of microphones and Derek, the guitar player from Cluster Pluck. Man, he tried to build a couple different rigs on my washboard that were just like we thought were gonna work, but they didn't. And then, long and behold, all I needed was one microphone just hanging out there and a lot of low end.
Yeah,
but it works, man. Very cool. With if you have the right sound guy who will listen to you instead of just being like, no, this is how I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
Well, no, I built this instrument, so you should listen to me. But anyway, it's fun and I love it, and it's my own. So
yeah, I love that about again with Ben Miller, like that kind of even like he uses like a stomp box, a tone made, and Scott
Bonnie does that too.
Scott plays a wash tub bass. It's like, you know, homemade. And it's like
just a string.
Yeah, and it's like so I just love these. You know, and a lot of bluegrass and folk music and stuff, there's a lot of, like, you know, just, and I mean, it all kind of started because they didn't have money to buy these instruments, so they kind of grabbed whatever was around and
pots, pans, and shit.
Right.
Yeah, man.
So I think that's awesome. But yeah, my dad tells a story about playing with a guy, like, he used to sit in with some bluegrass stuff, played harmonica, and would just kind of jam with some buddies and things, went to some bluegrass type festivals and stuff. But anyway, he tells me a story about a buddy of his played washed up bass and then he had like a mop stick and he's like pulling back on it too hard.
Yeah.
And it snapped. And and they're in a bar. So he like just ran back to like in the back and grabbed their broom, took the broom brush, you know, off. And
see
then, ya. Yeah, it was like, I'm back, guys. All right, here we go.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's, is it, so has it always been a lot of bluegrass type folk influence? Or
for me?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No, not at all. Yeah. Like, I'm being real. I mean, when I play, I'll put it to you this way. When I play with Sean Cannon, when we do that bluegrass night and stuff, I'm learning new songs. All of those songs that I've played, I don't know them.
Sure.
I know them now, you know, but no, I just kind of rolled with it. And, you know, before I was in even Boom Tops, I was listening to Tool, to, God, I can't even think right now, to Minus the Bear, which is like alternative, like indie stuff, you know, and I don't know, from that to Sigur Rós, which is like this super slow, like I don't even know what I'm trying to say. But no, definitely not bluegrass all my life. I mean, my dad was playing the Beatles to Blondie to Aerosmith when I was a little baby. Yeah. And Elvis. Shit, I did Elvis when I was, like, in fourth grade. I did, like, a... My mom slicked my hair back in all black. Like, and when I was younger, like, you can look at the pictures over there. When I was younger, I was a little boy.
Yeah.
I looked like a little boy. So I just dyed my hair, like, pitch black, you know?
Right.
And she slicked it back and made this, like, you know, the fat suit that Elvis, the white one, the white jumpsuit. I had that. And then, for some reason, instead of a guitar, you know, because Elvis would play a guitar, my mom's boyfriend made me a banjo to hold. So I was fat Elvis playing a banjo.
Yeah.
Singing Hound Dog in fourth grade.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Yeah. I grew up on all kinds of shit. I love the Spice Girls. We can put in Spice World if you want.
Yeah, watch right. it.
But I also have, you know, a Bob Dylan movie, and then I have a Woodstock movie. So it's all over.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, right now I'm listening to Beyonce. I can't stop listening to it.
I haven't checked out the new record yet.
Lemonade is no fucking joke.
Yeah.
It is no joke. And everybody I talk to, I tell, man, it's incredible. Like, even if it's for money and the two of them didn't really even have that whole thing, like, I guess Jay-Z, like, cheating on her or something. Some shit like that, I don't know.
I think it's all just good marketing.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. It's real good.
Yeah.
And this album is fucking incredible. It's really good.
What I thought was kind of interesting is it kind of came out on, you know, nowhere. She kind of, like, it wasn't like a big, I don't think it was a, at least for me, I mean, I'm not real, you know, big on Beyonce and pop music, but but like it felt like it, there was no big build up, like, oh, Beyonce's putting out a record this year. It was just kind of like, oh, here's my new album, you know. It's like,
well, she did real good, and if you're a woman, you can be a man too, go ahead, you know, whatever. But if you are going through something that is a struggle or heartbreak or something, and you hear some of these songs on that album, you're just,
yeah,
you're jacked.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at with it right now. And some of the, like, the actual Lemonade itself, the whole movie, is not just music. It's poetry, and it's, like, some of it's dark.
Yeah.
You know? And she's talking about the woman that he slept with. She's talking about, like, wearing her skin and shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa! Whoa, B!
Yeah.
Slow it down, girl. Dude, it's good.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it's everywhere. My music is all over.
I'm the same. Well, my if you hit shuffle on my iPod, it goes all over the place. And that's the thing. Like, I'm not real, you know, I don't like genre. It's really, I mean, it's not like I'm not. If I had to say, I'd probably more lean towards, like, blues rock stuff a lot.
Sure.
But I mean, I more gravitate toward certain artists doing something different with it all. Like, you know, I don't. So it's kind of, that's for me, it's more the artist. And
yeah. So. I feel like with a lot of the music, for instance, I mean, Elephant Revival is my favorite band.
Yeah.
And to me, what really grabs my attention, first of all, live shows. You have to, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
That band, if I'm going to listen to you, I have to see you live and you have to perform. Because if you don't, I don't know, it probably won't grab me. And there's something about Elephant Revival that is unlike anybody else out there. And that's what I'm looking for in a band.
Sure.
You know? I mean, I felt that, you know, I think that about Clusterplug. I think that they are a band unlike any other band out there. Old Salt Union's like that, too, which is, you know, Elephant Revival. And
sure.
That's mainly what I'm looking for in a band. So.
Yeah. Yeah, Clusterpluck's been on the show, and Old Salt Union's been on the show a little while ago, and those guys are all a lot of fun.
River Kittens too, you know.
Yeah, hey yo, shout out to River Kittens.
Hey.
those three are a lot of fun. I was all laughs that night when they hung out on the show. And
I was laughing.
Even your name came up that night. Well, cool. We kind of talked about some of the you were talking about Beyonce's, you know, heartache stuff or whatever, and like we kind of talked about that off mic about how much like art that influenced. You said something about even like recording, like, or not recording, but writing like two songs.
Yep.
And stuff. So I mean, but so you're getting into you've stepped away from Cluster Pluck and you're out as a solo artist now, doing a lot of stuff and writing. So we got a few tunes.
I do, and I felt like I needed a little change, and I didn't give myself any expectation. I mean, I have goals and I have a standard in life in general, but I stepped back for a while and I slowed down, and
yeah.
I didn't give myself any expectations. You know, I wore myself out there for a while too, and you know, things changed, jobs changed, relationships changed, and it was like all of this for like 6 months solid, and it felt really great to write a couple songs last night because it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a long while since I've solidified two songs all the way through, or a song all the way through. And but typically, I've noticed that when I write, it's when heartbreak is around or something is twisting my heart of sorts, and I'm not in control of it anymore, or I'm angry about it. I'm not angry, but I got a little pent-upness that I typically control as a human out there. I try not to, like, react too much in a bad way.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I channel it through this now.
Yeah.
Or cooking.
Yeah.
Cooking, too, for sure.
Yeah, I've been a big fan. I consider going to culinary school myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've always just been... Growing up, my little brother was always out in the garage with Dad, building stuff, changing the oil in the car, and you know, all the stuff like that. But I was always in the kitchen with Mom, learning how to cook and clean and all that stuff. So anyway, it's just always been everything I know is just cooking and things. So I've always loved. I always wanted to do it, but I never really wanted to make a career out of it. I always enjoy it as a hobby for friends and family, and especially barbecuing and stuff.
Oh yeah, man. There's something about, man, today, just I get something out of making something so good that somebody's just like, you know, they get that smile. I made little baby like chocolate donuts today for my friends who were here earlier, and I caught myself walking back into the kitchen like, like, yep, just did it. Just made them, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm looking for in life, I feel like. And cooking and singing songs to people kind of does that for me.
Yeah. Well, you want to sing one of them songs?
I will.
All right.
I will do that. I don't know if you can cut out all this in between crap, but
yeah,
I might need to.
I can take care of that.
I might need to tune this little baby.
Yeah.
She's interesting. But I'm going to play you a brand new song that I haven't played for anyone but myself.
Oh. Rock Paper Podcast exclusive, huh?
Yeah, super exclusive. Do you think you could pour me a little bit of your water in here?
Sure.
I'm not afraid. You know what I mean? It's water. Thank you. So this one is called Do Your Best or Find Your Shine, or I think it might be Find Your Shine. It's a little story about things in the past couple of years of my life.
Yeah.
And where I'm at now and trying to just keep on shining kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
See if this works out. Stand
It's like just more association, but the ukulele tends to remind me of more happier songs. I think of
definitely
island Hawaiian songs.
Yeah, and, you think like I get what you're saying though, like little ditties, almost like happy ditties.
Right.
I mean, I don't have a lot of happy ditties on the on that ukulele.
Yeah.
But I try to make it. I'm with like singing by myself. I'm like focusing more on just how it's coming out and how I don't have any rules because it's just me. Right. You know, it's interesting. It's a lot different, and it's a lot of feeling okay with your songs, too, because it's just you. You don't have anybody else backing you up, you know, or adding another layer, and it's fun, though, you know? And
yeah, I don't know. I just, I think that's... I think it's pretty admirable to like take a risk, you know, to even for any musician. But I mean, just like to get out there, and I mean, it's you have to be like incredibly vulnerable out there, like just like say, "Hey, here's my songs," and especially when they're sad songs about heartbreak and things. Where somebody wrote it on I read something online, but it was like they were saying, Aaron Chandler. That's what he wrote on the other day. But putting himself in a song, and where he is very, very vulnerable, and it hurts, but everybody else connects to that.
Oh yeah.
And so now he has to do it all the time to sing that song, and it's like, but it's hard to you know, a little piece of you is in that song every time. So you get up there and you sing that song, and it's like. It hurts, but everybody else is really enjoying it.
That's like, to me, and it's funny we're talking about this right now, too, because, well, first of all, that to me is like one of the most enjoyable parts of all this, is the raw feelings that you get on stage. That's how I felt, for sure, you know, especially in moments like that.
Right.
It was just so powerful, you know, it could have been... There was somebody, I haven't seen a friend out in the crowd dancing that I just, like, saw in the middle of a song, and it was just like, ooh, you know, it hit me in the chest, or it was an ex who was there who I was singing a song, that, you know, whatever it was. And but I was out the other day at the demo, another plug, seeing a band, Fruition, Clusterpluck opened for them, actually. And I know them from... We opened for him a couple of times when I was still in Clusterpluck, and I was outside with Jay and Mimi from Fruition, and they were like, "Oh, we gotta make a set list," you know. And I was like, "Will you play Sanctuary, Jay?" You know, because that's a song that is on one of their albums. And they both just looked at me like, "What a song to request," you know. And so later on in the set, they sing it, and. It's crazy. I was watching Jay the whole time because it's his song. And I saw him almost cry. Mm-hmm. I did. I saw him almost cry, and at the end of the set, we were outside, and he came up to me and gave me a big old hug and, like, a little half-side uncomfortable kiss on my mouth, you know? I was just like, what's up, buddy? And he was like, oh, I fucking almost cried on stage because of that song. And it's like, but you have to play those songs because, you know, I mean,
sure,
they're parts of you. But he was like, man, you know, that was about a girl who is still in my heart every day. And he was just like, I felt it, but... He's like, but I gotta sing those songs, and, you know, he's talking about another song that they sing all the time, Mountain Annie. That's about a girl that was, like, super tragic heartbreak for him, and, mm-hmm. but it was cool to see that moment, and to be validated that moment was real later, and
yeah.
he was appreciative of my requests, and
yeah.
the fact that I probably connected to that song in a way, too, so
sure.
that was really cool.
Yeah, that's what I love about the show and love about being a fan of singer-songwriters is that the fact that I, you know, getting these stories and getting to you know, they, a lot of times, you know, the singer-songwriters will tell those stories on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, but yeah, I don't know, it's powerful. I read something, we were kind of talking about it before on a podcast, but about how, like, you know, for some people, it's movies, I'm a book, maybe, or whatever. There's different things that'll maybe give you that emotional, you know, connection. But it's pretty wild that a song can do that in like 3 minutes.
I know.
Like so it's pretty crazy what a powerful a power of music and song. So,
I mean, where would we really be without music? Honestly,
yeah, that's.
I'm not quite sure.
I don't
like it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
I don't think I would like that, no. actually.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Music's, like, become a huge part of my life. And it's just, I don't know. There's still a lot of things going on in my personal life or whatever, but it's like, through music, it all seems all right, you know? It's like,
it really does.
I can go out to...
Connects you.
Yeah. I can go out to Oyster Bar any night of the week and listen to live music and
Oyster Bar.
Yeah, shout out to Broadway Oyster Bar. But you know, it's just like that's what I'm saying. If I'm feeling down, or you know, even if I'm feeling you know, ready to dance and stuff, there's always music out there for anything, and it's a mood enhancer. I feel
I know.
So.
It's just the best in the whole world.
Yeah.
Really is.
So, but yeah, we mentioned the Oyster Bar. We both are employed down there.
We are.
So
it's crazy.
It's another connection we have.
Yeah.
But yeah, you've been working with Bob on the Fly. You're talking about food and music running together for you.
Yeah. I like I said earlier, I made changes in all of my areas in life. All at once, it seemed like,
yeah.
one day. It just kind of happened.
Sure.
And I was booking with John Johnson, who's the owner of Oyster Bar, and I was always the one dealing with him with Clusterpluck and getting us there. And so I made a connection and a relationship with him, and a very professional one at that. And so I sent him an email one day and just said, you know, this is what's happening. I just want you to know. And if you ever need any help in the kitchen, I can do that. I'm very much equipped. And I also kind of nudged Brett a little bit too. And Brett was like, instantly took me over to the new kitchen and was like, here's this. And it's just all the opportunity just kind of fell into place. And On the Fly is great. It's a great concept. We have awesome food. We have awesome freaking sandwiches. I make a special sandwich every day. It might be a sandwich. It might be a wrap. It might be tacos. It might be fries covered in beef gravy and cheese curds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck we want to do. Me and Marcus do it, and it's fantastic. And what's really awesome is being a part of Oyster Bar. It's just like I felt like for a while there were a lot of things that were unsettled, and I felt like misplaced almost But, like, Oyster Bar was always kind of like a home for me, you know? And I definitely feel like I'm in the right area. I'm in the right spot right now. And there are a lot of things, as I said earlier, there are a lot of things sprouting at Oyster Bar right now.
Yeah.
And Marcus and I even, this is just a little, this is an exclusive little plug right here. Marcus and I pitched an idea to take On the Fly Oyster Bar truly on the fly and make it into a food truck.
Yeah.
And John is buying the idea, and we hope to have that up and going in April of next year.
Wow.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
That's very huge for not only Oyster Bar, but me personally, Marcus, and everybody else out there who's going to get freaking good food everywhere else now.
Sure.
But yeah, that's huge for me.
Definitely.
That's like a real career. You know, and it's with Oyster Bar, and I couldn't be more fucking excited about it.
Yeah.
Because they're not going anywhere.
Right.
And I've made good relationships with a lot of people there now, you know? And Marcus and I, it's just so crazy how, like, timing works sometimes. Because you think all that bullshit that happened, there's a lot of bullshit, and there was a lot of, you know, things that I brought upon myself, too. But, like, you think, oh, God, nothing's ever gonna fucking change, nothing's gonna get better, right. And... you know, everything happens for a reason. Well, what's the fucking reason? This is part of the reason. I can see that now. And so I'm rolling with it. And I love Oyster Bar. And I can't wait for the future. And the food truck. It's going to be so awesome.
Yeah.
And we are going to be so busy. Marcus and I are going to get our asses kicked. But he and I, man, it's like... I don't know if you've ever had a co-worker who you just like... you know, he's got 25%. I've got 75% of it. Or, like, I've got a special and he's got the perfect name for the special. It's just, like, this energy.
Yeah.
Fuck. We just, like...
yin and yang, right?
Yeah, it's yeah. So good. And John knows that, the owner of Oyster Bar. So it's, you know, it's like a little power team we got going on. And so we're taking advantage of it and doing big things for the company.
I don't know. I hope I'm not speaking out of place, but I feel like... There's a little bit of that for me on the other side with the music happening. I feel like me and Brett have been working a lot together. Brett even allowed me to book my second annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday show down there on a Friday night at Oyster Bar, which I'm like, I was just floored. I was like, so I did the first year at Steve's Hot Dogs,
mm-hmm.
which was awesome. We did it on a Sunday afternoon, had a hot dog buffet. And
yeah. Just, oh my God, yeah. That is two beautiful words
yeah,
together.
Right,
hot
yeah.
dog buffet.
Yeah.
And, oh my God.
And live acoustic music. So, but this year, you know, I kind of wanted to step it up a little bit, and then I threw it out there to Brett. Brett was asking about, you know, bringing some bands in.
Yeah, definitely.
And I was like, hey man, I got an idea. And so he's like, here you go. It was Friday night, Broadway Oyster Bar, June 24th. Mm-hmm. He allowed me to pick the bands, and I booked
what
it all.
The bands?
I got Matthias and the Pirates.
Uh-huh.
I got Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals.
Dang.
And I got Sky Burnt White. They're buddies of mine, and so
nice.
All three are it's their very first time at Broadway Oyster Bar.
That's
so,
good, man. See,
so,
that's good shit right there.
Yeah.
That's
so it's gonna be an exciting night, but that's I feel like me and Brett like you were talking about on the fly, but with me and Brett I feel like we have a nice thing going with trying to build up some new bands and in that Oyster Bar and of course you know we got you have the staples, you have, you know, One Drops and Funky Butt and all that, you know,
Clusterpluck and Sean Cannon,
right,
and
for sure,
yeah.
And
that was, man, I love it.
We're not, you know, they're not going anywhere, but it would be nice to find that next Funky Butt or whatever. So who's coming up and supporting some great locals also. So so that's what we're working on. I threw out some suggestions and we got some things happening.
Just keep doing that, man.
Yeah.
That's the beauty about Oyster Bar, you know. He's such a good businessman too, and he's real.
Mm-hmm.
So what we were talking about today. He's like, you know, I'm about realness.
Sure.
And I was like, that's great, man. That's good.
Yeah, I've only got to speak to John a few times because, you know, he's usually gone by the time I get in there. But,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, no, it's, yeah, he's great. great guy to work for.
So. He really is. I couldn't be more excited about the future and what it holds for Marcus and I.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Especially.
Very exciting. Well, you want to play another one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so this one I've been talking about the Damn Elephant Revivals.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play a Elephant Revival song into a sorry, if I talk too much, it won't, it'll like pick up my voice and then I can't tune it. Okay. So I'm going to play an Elephant Revival song into an Avett Brothers song back into an Elephant Revival song.
Little mashup, huh?
Yeah. Derek's probably not going to listen to this, but this one goes out to Derek. It reminds me of him from Cluster Plug, because we would mash up the fucking craziest songs ever.
Yeah.
This is my mashup. It's not as fucking crazy. Sorry, fuck is like probably one of my favorite words ever.
Universal adjective.
Ukuleles.
Close to you.
change wouldn't last. All that comes, comes here to pass. In love and rage, written on the same page. Can you tell the two apart? Tell me one go wrong. Summer camp with Cluster Pluck.
Yeah.
Dancing in the mud pit of doom. It was so bad the year we played there on Sunday. It rained. It rained Friday, Saturday. And then by that time, which we stayed to see Avid Brothers. And the walkways that you had to get to the different stages were like little creeks of mud. And oh my god, but it was magical, and it rained the whole time, and we all were in like, I felt like 2 feet of freaking mud, you know. And yeah. It was fucking powerful. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was awesome. I cried. Chris cried. Everybody cried. Just admit it. Y'all cried.
Speaking of some festival stuff, you'll be making some appearances at some festivals coming up here. So, get some dates out there for you. September 9th and 10th.
Yes.
You'll be at the Picking on the Hoozaw.
Hoozah, huzzah, huzzah. Huzzah, huzzah.
I got the... this was put on... I know Ryan Kemp and Nikki are kind of spearhead of this thing.
Nikki.
And,
love that girl.
Yeah.
I love him too. He's the shit.
Yeah, they're both awesome.
He got a hold of me a couple of days ago and was like, can you come to Kansas City with me and play? I think I guess he wanted me to play maybe Friday but I think the guy worked out to where their drummer was going to be there, but
yeah.
I was like, oh shit, well, maybe, but yeah, I love it, and I made good connection with him, and he, what's great is most likely going to be playing an entire set, maybe like Saturday morning. I'm not sure if they have music on Sunday, but hopefully like Saturday morning. I told them to call it Waking the Wooks, you know, Waking Up the Wooks.
Yeah.
Like a really, obviously I'm not like super, you know, so like hearing stuff like this at 11 a.m. to wake everybody up, you know, I thought it would be good. And then I'm also artist at large, so I'll be playing with hopefully like 75 to 100% of the bands there. It would be awesome to play with all of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I definitely got some stuff worked out with Old Salt Union, Cluster Pluck, of course. Probably the Mighty Pines and Grass Fed Mule. And I talked to Martha from the River Kittens about possibly doing a song too. Get like some four-part harmonies on that.
Oh,
my
wow.
God. You know what I mean? That would be fantastic. So... yeah, I'm really excited about picking on the huzzah. Why do they always pick like really hard words? Like everybody was all like Cortis, picking on the Cortis or Courtois, Cory Courtois. It's actually coat away.
Yeah.
Like put your coat away.
Right.
Go put your coat away.
Yeah, I think I said it wrong a bunch of times before I was corrected. But yeah, this this lineup is stacked.
It's super stacked, man.
This is nuts. So we got here. Rattle off the full listing here: Split Lip Rayfield, Old Salt Union, The Mighty Pines, The Hooten Hollers, Cluster Pluck, Oak Steel and Lightning. Not sure how they got on the bill.
Burn.
That's Ryan Kemp's band. So that's that's River Kittens, Woodshine, Hillary Fitz, another friend of the
fantastic.
Show.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Yeah, so yeah. Good. What's this? Alsup Grossi? Grossi? I'm not sure if I... And Haley. I'm not sure how to... I'm probably messed that up. Grass-Fed Mule, Dead Soldiers, Jimbo Darvill and the Truckadors, Jesse Irwin... Urban Pioneers, Muddy River Ramblers, and the Son of Ill Repute, and of course, Leah Osborne.
Hey.
Yeah. So that's that's gonna be a party. September 9th and 10th, down on at Hoosaw Valley, right? Or what's is that the
Hoosaw Campground?
Yeah, Hoosaw Valley Resort. You can go on their website or Facebook and find more details, all that for so.
It's real neat down in Steelville too. It's beautiful.
For
it's,
sure.
I was just there for Mo Roots.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I play with Oak Steel and Lightning and Grass-Fed. I actually recorded with Grass-Fed one song.
Oh, yeah?
Well, no, a couple songs. I did some washboarding with them.
Yeah.
Some singing.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
And then you also, September 29th and 30th, you'll be at the,
wait.
Right?
No. July.
Oh, July.
July 29th.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's all good.
July 30th. Yes. Before that. So, at the, what did you say?
Beeson Stock. Beeson Stock. It's a little, I love this little festival. It's ran by some awesome dudes and chicks and Driftaways are there, and I'm there, and I'm not really quite sure. Mountain King is there, and Krista Lynn and the Fan Damley. It's a small Illinois festival that Cluster Pluck used to play at. I'm not quite sure if they'll be there this year, but I booked this one myself because I felt like, you know, I just want to kind of step out there, and that was the first one I booked. I actually got picking on the Huzzah after this, and I was just like, you know what? You know what? I'm going to challenge myself, and I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have like 16 songs now, which I'm really proud of. And no, I have 18 because I wrote two motherfucking new ones last night.
Right.
Yeah, I have 18 songs. That's great for me.
Are you, are you going to, you planning to do a record, or what are you thinking?
They're not all my songs, but yeah absolutely. I have, I definitely have enough already to do an EP. You know, I'm poor as shit. I am a musician and a cook right now.
Right.
So, and barely a musician. Paying musician, I should say. I shouldn't say barely a musician. I just don't get paid anymore for it, really. But, that's okay with me, because I haven't been this good on my ukulele ever. You know, I pick it up almost every day.
Yeah.
But,
hey, I don't want to, you know, pat myself on the back too much, but a lot of people, I mean, not, I know it's not from the show, but I make the jokes that a lot of people, like, things happen, a lot of people, I just happen to be talking to people right at the right time. I know I happen to talk to a lot of people with a lot of things going on, and then the right doors open afterwards, so I just make jokes that it's always because of the podcast, all the sweet exposure they got on this show. But I know it's not, but it's just fun to say. But it's like, I'm like, a buddy of mine was on the show and got to open up for Dave Chappelle at the pageant and stuff.
Yeah, man,
like,
that's freaking sweet.
Things like that. So it's just like, you know, some real neat opportunities. So hopefully that'll be the case for you. I mean,
I appreciate that too. I wanted to talk to you for a while, I think, but I feel like I wanted to, I'm to a point now where I feel solid in my performance and in my set list, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted to have more than just like 10 songs or 5 songs, you know?
Yeah.
I'm glad I waited and was patient.
For sure, yeah. I agree. I think you know, we're talking about things happen for a reason earlier and stuff, and I think it's all going to happen at the right time. And so, you know, I throw these out there a lot to people. I'm, you know, there's a few people I've been, even from the very beginning, I'm still trying to get them on the show and things, and I throw it out there, and I try to occasionally, you know, remind them, hey, you know, let's do that show, and but I don't ever want to, like, annoy anybody about it, you know, or, or anything like that. So it's like,
that's silly.
I like to just, like, kind of sit back, and then, like, you know, they know where I'm at, and you know, when they're ready, and like I said, I agree. I think things always happen for a reason.
Oh yeah.
And will happen when it's ready. So
for sure.
So yeah, I'm thrilled that we worked this out tonight. That getting to hang out, getting to talk music with you and stuff. And so hopefully we'll put together a EP or something here.
Yeah, I think it'll probably happen. And I've got a couple people I could. Well, probably more than a couple that I could record from, or with, not from. Pretty cheap. I could do it completely in a actual studio and go that route with Encapsulated Studios with Gabe, because we recorded one of our Clusterpluck albums there.
Yeah.
And it turned out really great, I think. And I recently recorded a song with Gabe for a compilation album that was to help gain awareness for people and families who go through, like, mental trauma from victims of, like, abuse and stuff. So it's gaining money and awareness and going in all kinds of really great places. So,
sure.
But Encapsulated Studios would be a great place for me to go, I think. I'm definitely going to record.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think that bringing in a couple people would be fun, too. Like, Matt Gadigan is definitely... You already know Matt. You're going to be on my shit. And he plays the violin unlike anybody I have ever heard. And I think, to this day, his tone... Maybe not as good as Bridget's from Elephant Revival, just because it's Elephant Revival. But still, his tone is that he gets out of his violin is my favorite. It's just, it's thick, and it's his pedals that he uses, and I don't know, I just love his style. So I would definitely like to have some violin, or possibly he can play bass and drums and guitar, so you know, you never know. I definitely want him on there, and whoever else, you know.
It's exciting to think about.
Yeah, it really is. I just need some money.
Sure.
First. That's what I feel like.
Always. It's been a recurring quote a lot lately, but I'm sure you've seen Happy Gilmore, right?
Mm-hmm.
There. The scene where he goes to visit his grandmother, and they're, like, taking her house, and he's like, but Grandma, why didn't you pay your bills? And I didn't have any money.
That's pretty much my life.
Me and my wife do that all the time. Like, I say to her all the time, you know, like, something like, well, I don't have any money. You know?
That gets you out of it.
Yeah. But it's a... Yeah, the whole starving artist thing, man. I totally get it. I mean, it's. I feel like I make jokes again with the show, like, that I'm waiting for those sweet podcast money to start rolling in, all that. But
all that podcast money.
Yeah, I'm just doing this all out of love. I enjoy hanging, you know, meeting all these people and then being around in the music and you know, working my way into being included in all this. It's pretty wild.
I know the feeling. That's how I felt. That's how I still feel.
Yeah. Well, cool. I don't know. You want to close it out with one more? You said you got...
Sure.
You want to do that?
Sure.
Yeah. We got... So, you can find Leah. She has a official fan page. You can find her on Facebook and keep up there. I saw a video of your... what, Down to the Sea, live,
you were doing, I'm actually going to play that song.
Okay, so yeah.
It's a Sage Cooke cover.
Yeah. The video was a lot of fun, though, watching you, play.
I was at work, and I don't know, there's just some times where, well, lately I've been hanging out with Marcus a lot, we'll have a couple tall boys after work and discuss things and have a meeting of the minds of sorts.
Yeah.
And I just came back from one of those, I think, just feeling real, real good and just like, you know what, I want to fucking record some.
Yeah, you look like you're having a good time with
it. I was, definitely.
So we're, I don't know anything about
Sage Cooke?
Yeah.
Well, he's from Elephant Revival. He's just not with them anymore. He's in a new band called We Dream Dawn, which I am going to talk about for just a second, because he left Elephant Revival to be a farmer, basically. Wow. And he's still playing, though, and he's in the We Dream Dawn, which is his band that they kind of tour. They actually have a lot of summer gigs coming up, but he mixes what they like to say is agriculture with arts. So he finds people who want to be farmers or, like, you know, do stuff, like, living on the land kind of thing, and making music and stuff, too.
Kind of their own farm aid sort of deal.
So, but he's probably one of my favorite writers ever. And I cover, actually, like, two or three of his songs, but this is definitely one of the greatest ones, I think. He says it's about a hypothetical love story or some shit like that. That's right. Pretty, I don't know, something like that. Sage Cooke. He's my friend on Facebook, too. He asked me recently. That's a real thing.
Yeah?
I took a screenshot of it, too. It was real. I about shit my pants. If I didn't have all this good shit going on right now, I'd probably move to Kansas and farm and sing with him. Would be a lot of fun. She caught me speechless, the words were useless, oh, useless. Moonshine, water, her mother, hers, and daughter. She did not love me. No, that's alright, 'cause it's not about me. And I won't be silver. She called me and hung up. I should not have let it rain in the small town.
Mess with me, oh, it's history, and the winter I'll be. I wait patiently. Oh, the dirt will bring. Oh, will bring.
Yeah. Sound real
good. Thanks.
So I threw your picture up here on Facebook and asked some of the fans and friends if they had some questions for you, and we got some response. So care to answer some of these?
Let's do it.
Okay. Dan asks, "Does she still love me?" In the song about a mountain we wrote. And does she know the words? Because I can't find them.
It was a great song about mountains and feeling good in life, but I sure as shit do not remember those. That was like 5 years ago, I feel like. I was real good friends with him and his buddy Nicole Madden, who's another really huge... She's a huge player in the music scene for sure, but she's more like rock and roll fucking punk, you know, and that whole gig, which is awesome.
For
She's
sure.
great, and so is Dan. And yes, Dan, I absolutely love the shit out of you.
For me, every time now, it's, you know, etched in my brain whenever I hear, think of Dan, or vice versa, if I hear the song, I'll think of them too. But they did from the Eagles, Glenn Frey, Party Town.
Of course he did that.
Yeah, they did that cover at the Brother Lee and the Leather Jackal show. And anytime I hear that song, it's always a
Daniel connection.
Yep, and Bobby Stevens.
Bobby.
Yeah. So yeah, those love those guys. We got another one from Martha of the River Kittens we mentioned. She came through with a couple questions here. What's your favorite restaurant in St. Louis? Which I think we might have touched on a little bit of the food, but is that your favorite? Do you have a favorite?
I do have a favorite. Oyster Bar is not my favorite place to eat.
Favorite to work at, right?
Yeah, it is. It's my favorite place to be.
All right.
How about that? That's better. That's broad. But my favorite place to eat in St. Louis is Everest. And the one on Manchester in the Grove. Everest is like Korean, Indian, and like Nepalese food, which I love Asian food. I love Asian food. Not like Chinese, American Chinese shit. Asian food, Thai food, Korean food, Japanese. And they do the shit right. It's all so right. good. Spices and curries. But then you get like Korean too. So you get like rice bowls and beef and oh God, it's so good.
Yeah.
It is so good.
You ever check out Gorilla Street Food?
No, I haven't yet.
Yeah,
I probably should.
I like them a lot.
They do that fusion shit too, which is what I like to do. Yeah. It's not just like you're straight up. I feel like
They're more
just
strictly
one thing.
Yeah, they're more Filipino based. But yeah, they really, really great stuff. I enjoyed the food truck. We mentioned food trucks, and then they have a location in Tower Grove. So,
yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
Asian. Everything for me. I want to go to Asia one day for sure. Japan would be at the top of the list if I could go anywhere.
Yeah. That'd be
for
awesome.
Sure. Yeah.
Take the washboard too.
Oh my God, they would love me.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Oh my God.
Martha also asked, if you were a cat, what kind of cat would you be?
I would be like my beautiful little calico kitty Duty, who lives with my mom, and I would be how she is, because she is a house kitty but gets to lay in my mom's beautiful garden out front or out back, and then is fat and gets pampered and is the cutest cat ever. So I would want to be like my little baby Duty. But she's a calico and has like gray and white and tan spots, and she's got like a white little mustache, and it like goes down in, like the white goes down into her chest. She's super cute,
yeah.
And super soft. I would want to be a soft kitty. How about that?
Yeah. And she also she had a third one. She was on fire
on
with
it.
These questions.
On
yeah.
It.
She asked, "What's your drag queen name?"
Oh God.
Do we?
Damn. What did I think of earlier? I was thinking of something earlier.
Oh, yeah.
It had to do with food, of course. Was it? It was. Oh yeah, it was Tempura, like tempura.
Yeah.
But Tempura.
Yeah.
Fuck, something like that, or like spicy mayo or something.
Spicy mayo.
So yeah. There you go, Martha.
Yeah.
I don't know, something with food or like kitty cats, but food sushi items sounded better. Tempura.
Right.
That's what they do, though. They're the drag queens out there, man. They, there's one. Her name is Sharon Needles. Sharing Needles.
Yeah.
You know, they do that. Oh, God, it's so good. I love it.
Yeah, there are a lot of wordplay in
uh-huh,
there. Yeah.
For sure. But, yeah, I would say probably, like, Tempura, because that's kind of, you know.
Right.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. And Teresa also wanted to know, when are you coming over to make her sushi?
You gotta come over here, girl.
Yeah.
You come over with Anna and Kim, and I'll make you sushi soon.
Yeah.
I don't go to places. I make it here.
Right.
And I probably do make it like once or twice every week. Y'all know what it's about. If my friends are listening right now, they know what it's about. They know.
Yeah.
When they I do like a lot of the traditional stuff, and I do the techniques the way you're supposed to do them with making sushi, but I make it my own. I make my own flavors, and I combine my own ingredients and have my own style of things for sure, but I love doing it. Making sushi, for me, I make it into like a 4-hour thing, so it's like, it's almost like a gig.
Sure,
know?
Yeah, definitely.
You know? So,
cool.
Yeah.
Follow Leah on Facebook. Keep up with
right.
All the things that she has going on. You can come see her pretty much all through the week at Bob on the Fly.
You can. Monday through Friday, I am there with my buddy Marcus or Cassie, and we sell delicious treats.
For sure, yeah. And then, of course, you can see her at Beast in Stock,
which is July 29th
and 30th.
Some trouble
with
that. It's all good.
And then September 9th and 10th at Picking on the Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. So cool. And hopefully an EP sometime.
Yeah.
In the near future.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
It'd be cool too with the studio stuff. Like, and I mean, we have a lot of ukulele, but you know, you could do tracks and put some washboard on and stuff too. And
sure can.
Yeah, so it'd be nice to add a little layer to it.
Uh huh. Yeah, it'd be really awesome one day to like, if possible, like maybe even have a loop pedal and like
definitely.
loop my washboard just a backbeat to some of my songs. That
would be
really neat one time.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I've got a couple of friends that do some of that loop pedal work, and it's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
You ever see Fro the Wandering Madman at any of these festivals and things?
No.
He,
Super Looper?
Yeah, he plays, he lives in his van, tours around playing for people, and, he turned his van into his, it's like a... Got like a garage door on the side. It rolls up, and he's got his keyboards and speakers there. And,
shit.
And he plays out to
that
the
is
crowd.
Awesome.
Yeah, and he so it's pretty great. And he but he'll play. You know, like I said, he'll loop it. He'll like do a guitar part, do the drum part, do the key, and then he plays live keys on it. And
yeah,
then,
that's cool, man.
And it's I mean, I like I said, I can't play anything. So like to watch a guy that goes from instrument to instrument, or you know, like even yourself, you're playing ukulele and washboard and guitar or whatever, you know, it's like, it's just...
it would be fun, yeah. For sure. I'm going to keep it going.
For sure. And, yeah, so this has been incredible. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for hanging out.
I've had fun, yeah. For sure. Good conversation.
Yeah, that's all it's about. It's all having a good time and capturing these moments and conversation. Sure. So.
You guys heard an exclusive song, too.
Yeah.
Lucky.
Well, thank you, Leah.
Bye.
Bye.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.